stand up on the Do we move this back so you can Yeah, this way.
So we had a beautiful Shabbos, and I'm happy to be back again. When I left on Shabbos by Shalashudas, I didn't imagine that it'll take so little time to see you again. But when Rav Shai suggested I come and give a shiur and start dealing with sugyas of Hilchos Pesach, I happily agreed. I am also inspired and moved. I heard that you just had a siyum, second time siyum of Shisha Sidra Mishnah in memory of the 1.5 million Kinderlach that were murdered in the Holocaust. I can't think of any better way to remember those children and to learn Mishnayos Le'ilui Nishmosam. So I wish you all those that participated in siyum number 2, should gesunta hate, with good health, participate in siyum number 3, and keep it up. It's truly a most fitting way to remember those children, and in the schus of our children, just keeping the flame alive, carrying on the torches, the mission of our generation. So the topic that we will be discussing tonight is a topic that Rabbi Schechter suggested I speak about, which is a very common shaila that I deal with every year. So in Chag HaMatzos, so in Pesach, more than any other Yom Tov, we have mitzvahs of achila. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, we had many more achilas kochim. Koyanim and Leviim ate kochim, Tumas HaMaisis. But the only mitzvahs of achila that we are left with is matzah v'moroil, Chag HaMatzos. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have general mitzvahs of Oinig Shabbos and Simchas Yom Tov, which require seuda. But a mitzvah to consume, to eat certain foodstuffs is only on Pesach, in which we are required to eat matzah and maror b'leil haseder. And these mitzvahs are very precious to each and every one of us. However, many amongst us have difficulty in observing these mitzvahs because of various different medical conditions. So people that have celiac can't eat grains. And what do they do with mitzvahs matzah? So those of you that are familiar with celiac, it comes in different degrees, in different levels. Some people fall ill by eating even a very small quantity of grains. So are they mechuyev to eat matzah even though they might fall ill or just have a lot of pain and suffering? And people that have liver problems can't consume alcohol. So what do they do with dalet koisis? So some major gedolim, including the Igros Moshe and Rabbi Yosha, feel that dalet koisis you need to drink wine. My humble opinion, as is written in Agodah Shel Pesach Minchas Osher, I think that grape juice and wine are the same. Lagabi kol dinei Torah. And a person could be yotze dalet koisis with grape juice, just like wine, and the same with Kiddush. The only halacha in which grape juice would not be sufficient, as you could all imagine, is chayvinish levesume bepuria ad lo yoda. You won't get there by drinking grape juice. So, regarding Purim, no, you can't drink grape juice. It's got to be wine. But regarding dalet koisis has the same din as Kiddush, and you could be yotze with grape juice. The Rambam writes a basic requirement in Perek Zayim, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, regarding dalet koisis, which we do not find by Kiddush. The dalet koisis has to be orev lefi tamui shalodam. It has to appeal to you. So if you actually don't like wine and you prefer dalet koisis, and even you prefer mitzvah novin, you prefer grape juice, and even lechatchila, you should drink grape juice and not wine, even if you don't have any medical issues. So in my opinion, if you have liver problems, and you cannot drink alcohol, then use grape juice. But if you have diabetes, then grape juice wouldn't be good for you. So some people have a problem dealing drinking either wine or grape juice. What about Chamar Medina? So the Ramo does write that you could be Yoitzu with Chamar Medina, but in my opinion, we don't really have Chamar Medina today. This is a very questionable or complex issue. How do we define Chamar Medina? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes, it is a drink that most of the people in the country drink in their sudas. Today, because we live in an age of abundance and there's such an unbelievable variety of drinks, it is very difficult to point to one specific drink and say, most of the people drink this. So in some countries, especially European countries, probably beer would apply. But once again, I am always misupik. So, a Jew living in Germany, everybody drinks beer in Germany or in other European countries. But from Jews don't really drink that much beer. So, how do we define Chamar Medina? Is it something that our people drink or something that Gentiles drink? Today, there are so many drinks, but I find that more and more people, being conscious of health issues, drink water. That is the healthiest, you know. It's better for you than Coke or anything else. So water definitely would not be defined as Chamar Medina regarding Havdalah or regarding Dalat Koises. And therefore, in my opinion, we don't really have anything to be defined today as Chamar Medina. And therefore, I make Kiddush even by day, not only by night, only on wine. Even though my Rebbe, the Kloise Megarebbe, that was the tradition of the Gedolim of Galicia since the days of the Rav Shitzarov and the Choyze Meloblin and the Divrei Chaim. They used to make Kiddush Shabbos morning on liquor, but I think in our day and age, Kloise Megarebbe used to make Kiddush on banana liquor. I think that besides Belzer Chassidim and Kloise Chassidim, nobody drinks banana liquor anymore. It's probably manufactured just because some Hasidim make Kiddush Shabbos morning on banana liquor. So I do not think it could be defined as Chamar Medina. So I would never make Kiddush or Havdalah on anything but wine or grape juice. So, which brings us back to the problem, people that cannot consume alcohol and they have problems drinking grape juice, which has a very high level of sugar. What do they do with Dalat Koises? And I remember 2 years ago I was asked by an elderly person whose digestive system cannot digest fiber. So what is he doing with maror? He cannot eat the lettuce. He cannot eat what we call chasa. I don't know what it's called in America. What is tamcha? What is chrein? That's horseradish. So many people have a problem eating horseradish because it is so sharp. And some people cannot digest fiber, so they can't eat the lettuce form of moral. So this somewhat lengthy introduction was just posing the problems that many people have when they would so much like to observe and perform the mitzvahs that we have once a year, B'Leila Seder, in such an uplifting and magnificent night. So what do we do? Answer to those people. So to what degree does a person have to perform a mitzvah even though it'll cause him considerable suffering or pain, or he might even fall ill? In the level that we would define as a chole she'ein bo sakana, even though it would not really put his life in jeopardy. So what is the din of chole b'kiyum mitzvahs? Is a person required to observe mitzvahs, even those the performance of those mitzvahs might cause him to fall ill? So regarding mitzvah sukkah, we have a Mishnah, Sukkah daf chofei amitztayer, potur min hasukkah. You are exempt from mitzvah sukkah if sitting in the sukkah would cause you tsar. Tsar is not necessarily illness. That is not a choyle, it is a mitztayer, potur min hasukkah. Could we learn from Mitzvah Sukkah that the same rule would apply by other mitzvahs as well? Obviously not. Because in Sukkah Daf Chof Hei, in the source of the sugya, it is clear in the Gemara that the reasoning that a mitzvah potam in a sukkah is not a general rule that would apply to other mitzvahs as well. It is only because the Pasuk says, Teishvu, Besukkahs Teishvu Shivas Yomim, and Chazal define the interpretation of Chazal and Teishvu as Teishvu Ke'en Taduru. You have to feel comfortable in your sukkah. And you have to sit in the sukkah in those conditions that you would be happy to sit in your home. So if sitting in the sukkah causes you discomfort or suffering, you're potter from mitzvah sukkah. But that is a specific halacha that is relevant only by mitzvah sukkah, because Chazal learned this halacha from the formulation of the pasuk besukkos Teishvu Shivas Yomim, and the interpretation of Chazal, Teishvu is Ke'en Taduru. So it's a big pillar that the Radbaz, and the Radbaz, one of the greatest Poskim 500 years ago. He was the greatest Gadol in Egypt in those days. So the Radbaz, on two different tshuvas, learns from this Aloha Mitztai Potom and Asuka, that a Mitztai would also be Potter from other halachas and obligations. So in Chelik Beis Siman Tov Reish Pei Zayin, the Radbaz was asked, a person that suffers from excessive hair growth, and could he shave or could he have a haircut be a Meha Sfira? So that is Minhoge Avelis. And the Radbaz argues, if Chazal said HaMetztaya Potam in HaSukkah, we could learn a kal v'chomer that a mitzvah is potter from minhoge aveles b'yemei asvira. Sukkah is a mitzvah d'yuraisa. Minhoge aveles b'yemei asvira is not even a derabonon. It's more a minhag. So the Radbaz learns from the halacha mitzvah potter in a sukkah that a mitzvah would also be potter, and we would be lenient in enabling him to shave or cut his hair be a meha sevira, and that's a big chiddush, because we would argue you cannot learn anything from sukkah. This is a specific and limited halacha that we find only by sukkah and not by any other mitzvah that a mitzvah potter. And the second source in the Baz is Chelek Gimel Siman Tov Chof Hei, dealing with Shnayim Mikro VeEchod Targum, which is very interesting. But somebody complained to the Radbaz that he doesn't have koyach to do shnai mikro v'yecho targum. It causes him stress. And the Radbaz once again says, if a mitzvah put him in a sukkah, then he would also be put from shnai mikro v'yecho targum, which is only a mitzvah that rabbonin and not a mitzvah d'yuraisa. So in these both sources, the Radbaz learns from sukkah to other halachas. Well, both of these halachas are not menatoyra, they're not chayve krisis, they're not halachas chamuras, but learning anything from sukkah is a big chiddush, and it goes against the simple conventional understanding that the only reason a mitzvah putam in a sukkah is a halacha which is relevant only by sukkah, as the Gemara says, Teishvu Ke'en Taduru. So regarding Dalet Kaisis, we have an explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch Tov Ayin Beis Sif Yud, Misha Hayayin Mazikoi, Misha Einoi Shoyse Yayin Mepnei Shayayin Mazikoi, a person that cannot drink wine, and wine causes him suffering and harm. Chayev Litchok Atzmai, Tzorech Litchok Atzmai, and he needs to drink Dalet Kaisis even though he suffers from drinking wine. So this is a clear halacha that's in the Shulchan Aruch. And the source of this halacha is a story told in Bavli and in Yerushalmi. So in Bavli, it's not a Masechet Psochem, but rather a Masechet Nedorim Daf Mem Tesomet Beis. And in Yerushalmi, it is a Masechet Psochem Samech Tesomet Beis. So in Bavli, the story is told about Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi, who was one of the great Tanoim, one of the five later disciples of Rabbi Kiva, the last Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef. So the Gemara in Dorm Daf Memtes says that Yehuda Bar Eloi drank Dalet Kaisis And he suffered migraines and headaches till Shavuos, 50 days. From the Seder night till Shavuos, 49 days. He suffered, but nevertheless, he drank Dalet Koises. And the same story we find in Yerushalmi, Psochem Samechtes, on Rav Yoina, who was an Amoira and not a Tana. So in Babli it's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilo, in Yerushalmi it's Rav Yoina, but the story is the same. And these two great sages, either a Tana or an Amoira, did drink Dalet Koises, even though it caused them excessive suffering till Shavuos. And it is from here that the Rishonim learn, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Tofayim Beis Sif Yud, Tzorech Lid Choykatz Moilish Tos Dalet Koises, Afal Pisha Hayayin Mazikoy. So all the sources we brought up to this moment deal with Mitztayer. Would a Choyle have different halachas? Would we differentiate? A Mitztayer, Einenu Patur Ela Mesuka Belvad. Mitztayer, Chayev B'Dalet Koises. How about somebody that is not only mitztayer, but he actually falls ill, like most of the examples we discussed at the outset, at the beginning of this year, whether it's celiac or liver failure, or these are very clear medical conditions and medical problems which go beyond just mitztayer, just the fact that you don't like wine or you don't like something else. In the din of a mitztayer, put them in a sukkah, we deal with heat, we deal with cold, we deal with flies, we deal with a bad smell. So this is only tzair, it's not choyle. It doesn't negatively, you're not compromising your health. Would compromising your health be different? Yes, there are many sources that seem to indicate so. So in that very sif, in Tov Ayin Beis Sif Yud in Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch says, Mi she'ein eshoyse yayim epnei she'ein mazikoy tzorech lid choyka atzmoy. And this is halacha we learn from the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, as I just explained. The Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah, there on this spot, the Mishneh Berurah says that Sifkot Lamed Heh Mishneh Berurah, and in Shaar Tzion, Sifkot Nun Beis. Hametztayer chayev bedalat koises. Avalim yepol mishkav. If he will fall ill, then he is potter from Dalet Koises. Could we learn from this Mishneh Berurah that a choyle potter mina mitzvahs? Once again, no. Just as we explained before that mitztayer potter mina sukkah is a very limited halacha that is relevant only to sukkah, the Mishneh Berurah arguing that a choyle potter mina Dalet Koises is a very limited halacha, relevant only to Dalet Koises. Because in Shaar Tzion, the Mishneh Berurah explains, Ein ze derech cheirus. One of the basic halachas in Dalet Koises is we need to bring Dalet Koises derech cheirus. I need you to help me out with English. My English isn't that good. How do you find derech cheirus? Rav Shai, what's derech cheirus? It has to be in a fashion that reflects
Freedom.
Independence. Something more than freedom. Freedom. No. Derech Cheirus, I think, is Derech Kavoid, and I know what Cheirus is. Cheirus is liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. Okay, that's not relevant to the day's Shia. Something like royalty. Derech Malchus, Derech Cheirus. So that is why we drink Dalet Koises behasebo. When we lean on our left sides, that is kederach malochim. So the Shaar Tzion, the Mishneh Berurah explains, imunoifele mishkovein ze derech cheirus. So obviously, this applies only to matzor Dalet Koises, but it wouldn't apply to other mitzvahs. However, Tofayim Beis is a siman which we learn the halachas of Dalet Koises. Tofayim Gimel, we learn the halachas of Maror. And a siman Tofayim Gimel, once again, a Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Mem Gimel, the Mishneh Berurah writes, even if you have difficulty eating Maror, you're still chayiv to eat Maror. Nobody likes to eat horseradish raw for Maror, but we do it anyway. one of my first memories. I remember I was a little boy, and we had a guest, a Lubavitcher Chosid, and I don't know whether all the Lubavitchers have that minig, but 200 years ago, one of the Gedolim, the Nesivis, in his Agoda, wrote that you cannot grind maror. You need to eat it, you know, pieces. And he asked my mother, Erev Pesach, to prepare some sticks of maror. And the fact that I remember that, I was probably 5 years old, means it was a very frightening sight. And I thought the person was going to die there. And I remember being so terrified. So, we usually cough when we eat maror, but nevertheless, that is the mitzvah. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Im einoy nergeya libriyosoy," he is chayev to eat maror. So, what we learn from this Mishnah Berurah about if it will negatively impact your health, if it will compromise your health, you're potter from achilas maror. Now, by maror there is no din of derecherus. We don't eat maror behesebo. So the reasoning of the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tov Ayin Beis that Noifel and Mishkav Potter Medalet Koisis would not apply to maror. But nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if maror compromises your health, then you're exempt, then you don't have to eat maror. Why would that be? By maror there is no din of derecherus. So there seems to be a contradiction between the two Mishnah Berurahs. If he patters somebody that would be noifel and mishka from dalat koises because it's not derech eros, that halacha shouldn't apply to maror. But in Tofayin Gemel, Mem Gemel, he says that one is potter from maror if it will negatively impact his health. So that can be derech eros. So how do we reconcile what seems to be a stira? I could offer two suggestions, and there would be an afkam and al halacha. One suggestion would be, a choyle is potter from all the mitzvahs. You do not have to perform a mitzvah if it will cause you to fall ill. Not only sakona, even a choyle she'em by sakona. However, dalet koises might be an exception. Why would that be? Because of persumenissa. Because Dalet Koises, Sorach Lechazar al Psochem Olim Kor Ksusoi, we do not find that regarding other mitzvahs. Only two mitzvahs are based on the concept of Pesumenis, and that is Ner Chanukah and Dalet Koises. So the Avnei Nezer, Yoredei Shin Chof Alef, his contemporary, Reb Shloim HaKoyen, who was Av based in Vilna, in his Sefer Binyan Shloim Esimem Mem Zayin, the greatest disciple of the Avnei Nezer was the Chelkes Yoyev and Kuntras Bedina Yoynes Siman Daled. All three make the same comment. If the Ramos says in Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav, Eino Odom Chayev Lebazbez Hon Rav Al HaMitzvot, you don't have to spend a lot of money on a mitzvah. And the Poskim deal, how much do you have to spend? The Nusach, the formulation of the Ramah is Ein Odom L'chayv L'Bazbez Hon Rav. How do we define Hon Rav? A lot of money. So how much is a lot of money? We know of the general theory of relativity, but nothing is more relative than saying a lot of money. Depends to whom. So that is what the Ramah writes. So some say Chomish, some say like Maisik Sofim. I myself wrote at great length that a lot of money is a lot of money, and it is relative. Depends on what. You know, if your sukkah would cost you $1,000, that's not a lot of money. $1,000 to build a sukkah is not a lot of money. But if you need to buy arovis, and the only one that has arovis to sell you asks for $1,000, then that is a lot of money. Depends for what. For arovis, $1,000 would be totally unreasonable. But for building a sukkah, it would be reasonable. And if you want to move to Eretz Yisrael and it costs you $30,000, yes, that's a cheap price to pay for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So when the Ramo writes Hon Rav, he means exactly what he writes. He means Hon Rav. And it depends if it's far more than a reasonable price, then you're potter. If the price is reasonable, then you're chayiv. It has nothing to do with Choymish Menachos over Issa Menachos of Bat. So these three gedolim I quoted argue, if a person is not to spend a substantial amount of money to perform a mitzvah, he doesn't have to fall ill to perform a mitzvah. Bal tashchis degufa odif, and your health is definitely more important than your money. So if the halacha is that a person does not have to spend an excessive, exaggerated amount of money to perform a given mitzvah, then reason would dictate that he doesn't have to fall ill to perform a mitzvah. However, regarding persumenessa, oh yes, you do have to spend. So maybe we would think that kosher is different, and that's why we need the svara of derecheirus. But this approach doesn't make me happy, and I feel that another interpretation is more reasonable. And therefore I say this, choyle potom en amitzvahs. However, a choyle is entitled to be machmir. And if he wants to go that extra mile and be mekayim a mitzvah, and we're not dealing with putting his life in jeopardy, we're dealing with a choyle shein beskona, he is entitled to do so. And it might even be defined as a midas chasidus. But regarding dalat koisis, if it's not derecheres, then there's no point. If it's not derecheres, it's like drinking dalat koisis without a savior. You're not mekayim a mitzvah anyway. So there's no point in being machmir. And that is why the svara of the Mishnah Berurah regarding dalat koisis is relevant. Even without the svara of derecheres, we would still say it's not mechuyev, like we see by Morer. By Morer, there is no derecheres, and the Mishnah Berurah patters him. However, it is extremely important, the Mishnah Berurah's comment about derecheres, because if it's not derecheres, then there's no point in being machmer. You're not mekayim a mitzvah anyway. So that is why the Mishnah Berurah is mechadesh the point of derecheres. But I must make a general comment regarding the same Mishnah Berurah. Where did he pick up this halacha? It's amazing that he's mechadesh halacha medata danafshei. Usually, whenever the Mishnah Berurah quotes a source, it's in Shaar Tzion. This is medata danafshei. So, if we find in Bavli and in Yerushalmi, and this is a sif in Shulchan Aruch, mi she'eino ishoy seyayin mepnei she'yayin maziko itzorach liyidroi ka'atzmoi, and the Mishnah Berurah says, if he's going to fall ill, then he's potter, because it's not derecheres. Where did he pick that up? And therefore, I have my own pshat in the Mishnah Berurah. Many won't agree with me, but that's my pshat. Why would we say, imi noifel amishkav, it's not derecheres? Why? In my understanding, the Mishnah Berurah means, he refers to a very limited edition of noifel amishkav. Some people, if they drink wine, it is immediate. They just succumb. They can't drink wine. Many years I had this phenomena. I made Kiddush, and a few moments after that, I had cramps in the center of my chest, and I had to go out and breathe some cool air, and I felt awful, until I realized that I can't drink sweet wine. If I drink dry wine, I feel okay, but I just couldn't take sweet wine. So in my understanding, the Mishnah Berurah refers to a situation in which Noifel Amishkov Miyad, and that, therefore it's not Derecheres. What's going to happen tomorrow? What does that have to do with Derecheres? Derecheres is now, here and now, like a saber. What's going to happen tomorrow has nothing to do with Derecheres. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi had a headache till Shavuos, that has nothing to do with Derecheres. Derecheres is when you drink the wine, you need to drink Derecheres. So if he is Noifel Amishkov Miyad, that is not Derecheres. So that is a very limited halacha, the way I understand the Mishnah Berurah. Generally speaking, coming back to the basic question, does a person have to perform mitzvahs even though they will negatively affect his health? It's not only a question of mitztayer, but of compromising his health. So I quoted three gedolim that say potur. Avni Neza, Binyan Shloim Echelkes Yoyev. Two great gedolim, the Maram Shik, Orachaim Simrei Samach, Divrei Malkiel, who was the Rav in Lomja, Rabbi Tenenbaum, the Rav in Lomja, Going back 150 years, one of the great poskim in Litta, Chelek Gimel Samen Lamed Beis, they both write, as long as his life is not in sakana, he is chayav b'mitzvos. I myself have three rayas from Shas. Our time is limited, so I won't deal with all the rayas. Why is it limited? That's a very happy comment for a Maggid Shia to hear. Usually when a Maggid Shia says, my time is limited, people nod, yes. Very much so. This Shabbos I told a beautiful story, which I witnessed many years ago. Rav Chaim Kreisvit was speaking at some big affair, and he always went overboard. He always went on and on and on. So one of the organizers of the affair walked up to the podium and gave him a note. But Rav Chaim Kreisvit wasn't the person you messed around with. And with a lot of pomp and grandeur, he says, I just got a note. Let's see what's in it. Takes out his glasses from his pocket. Takes him 3 minutes to put on his glasses and adjust them. And he says, oh, I was just given another 20 minutes to speak. So, I brought three rayas. Toisis, in Yevamos Daf Ayin Beis, Chulin Daf Mem Zayin. There's an interesting Gemara. And an additional raya, in my opinion, Neufel Mishkov, Potem Min HaMitzvahs. A person is not mechuyev to perform mitzvahs if it will hamper or harm or compromise his health, even though we're not dealing with a chashash sakana. And I think the argument, if he is potor mahon rav, is a powerful argument. And that seems to be indicated in three different sugyas, as I mentioned. And therefore, I think that in the many cases I mentioned, we have to deal with every case in an individual way. If we're just dealing with tzar, yes, tzorech litroik atzmai, that is the sif and tof ayin beis sif yud regarding dalat koises. And the same rule would apply to matzah or moror. Matzah is min ha-Torah. Moror and dalat koises are midrabanan. Dalat koises has the upper hand because it's pesumenis, but on the other hand, moror is a mitzvah sheyesh lo weaker min ha-Torah. So it might be chomer midalat koises. Dalat koises has no weaker min ha-Torah. Moror is manazeh derabanan, but originally we're dealing with a mitzvah diuraisa. However, my halachic ruling is there are four different dargas, four different levels regarding the concept of chayla b'kiyum hamitzvahs. If there's any chashash sakana, if he might be jeopardizing his life in any way, that's an iser gomor. Not only is he not obliged to perform the mitzvah, he is prohibited from performing the mitzvah. And if he does do the mitzvah anyway, the Maram Shik Maskins in Siman Reish Samech, his broch is a broch al avatola. Because pikuach nefesh overrides matzah, moror, dalet koisis. So it is not only that he is not required to perform the mitzvah, that would be a prohibition. And even if the sakana is far-fetched, but Sofik pikuach nefesh lechumr. In my opinion, even though we're not dealing with a life-threatening situation, but he might be causing irreversible damage to his health, that would also be a prohibition. Not only that he isn't mechuyev. And sometimes that is the case with celiac. Sometimes celiac might be causing irreversible or irreparable damage. And that would define, in my eyes, what Chazal calls Sakonas Eva. In Hilchos Shabbos Shin Chof Ches, and see if you would say, and we see that Sakonas Eva is different than merely a Choyle She'em by Sakona. By Choyle She'em by Sakona, Chazal were lenient with the Gzeir of Shchikes HaMamonim. But they were not matir shvusim. By sekunas eiver, There were Mati and Shivusim. And according to the Shachan Yerodesim and Kufnu and Zayin, Sakona Seva would necessitate even Enisidiurais. So the Shach is, many argue against the Shach, but that is what the Shach writes in Yerodea, Kufnu and Zayin. So, any irreversible damage that a person might be causing to his health would be defined as a Sakona Seva, and that would be a prohibition. If we're dealing with a situation in which Neufel a Mishkav, but he's going to get out of it, he knows, you know, might cause some discomfort more than Tsar, Neufel a Mishkav, but it is something temporary, and he's going to bounce back. He is Potter, but he is entitled to be Machmir if he wishes to do so. And maybe it would be defined as a Midat Hasidut. He is not required by halachic definition to perform the mitzvah, but if he wishes to do so, and his feeling is, this is a mitzvah I have once a year, and by all means, I want to be mekayim this mitzvah, even though he might be feeling awful, then it might be defined as a midat chasidut, and he is entitled to do so. If we're dealing with what we halachically define as tzar, then he is chayev b'mitzvahs, because a mitztaya potam and asuka bilvad. But as we see in Shulchan Aruch regarding Dalet Kaisis, mishiyein ishoy siyayin, mipni shayayin, maziko, tzorech lit, choyka asmoy, and the same rule would apply to other mitzvahs. So let us just summarize four different dargis regarding mitzvahs that might impair your health or cause discomfort. If we're dealing with tzar, a mitzvah chayev b'mitzvahs. A mitzvah potam in a sukkah, but that is a rule that applies only to sukkah because of teshvu, ken, taduru. Other mitzvahs, chayev l'kayim b'mukam tzar. If we're dealing with choli, noifel l'mishkav, that is a big machloikis between achroinim. My opinion is potam in a mitzvahs. However, the same sugya, sukkah daf chof hei, mitztaya potam in a sukkah, we find a similar sugya in sukkah daf chavav, choyla v'misham shov turam in a sukkah. And the Gemara says the same reasoning. Why is a choyla and all those that care for the choyla, why are they potam in a mitzvah, potam in a sukkah, teshvu ke'en taduru? Would this indicate that a choyla is only potter from sukkah, but he's chayiv in other mitzvahs? No. Has nothing to do with our entire discussion. Nobody argues that a choyla is potter in a mitzvah because he is ill. Nobody argues that a person has a cold and he has a high fever, he's potter in a tefillah, potter in a krishma, potter in a tefillah, potter in a tzitzis. Why would that be? The question we are dealing with tonight is, does a person have to perform mitzvahs when the performance of those mitzvahs would cause him illness, would impair his health? But the fact that he's a choyle doesn't pater him from mitzvahs, but it does pater him from sukkah. Because if the sukkah causes him discomfort being a choyle, he has a cold, and it's very cold out there in the sukkah, and it might aggravate his medical condition. That would be the question, the general question. But a choyle potam in a sukkah if he feels discomfort sitting in the sukkah, and that is because of teshvu ke'en taduru. So when Chazal say potam in a sukkah, that is not the same discussion as the general question, does a person have to perform a mitzvah if the performance of that mitzvah will cause him to fall ill? That is the question we are dealing with tonight. That is different than the halacha of choyla v'kol misham shov pturim in a sukkah because of teshvu ke'en taduru. When a person is ill, he likes to be in his own home, in his bedroom. That's where he feels comfortable. He wouldn't feel comfortable being anywhere else. When you're ill, you don't sleep in a sleeping bag in the woods, in the forest, you know, or, you know, you want to be at home drinking tea in your bedroom. So choyle v'misham shav p'turim in a sukkah. That is teishvuke and taduru. But that aloha has nothing to do with a general question. Is a person mechuyev b'mitzvahs when those mitzvahs would compromise his health? So once again, the four klolim are chodesh yesh v'sakana, that is a clear prohibition. That is the mitzvah v'nishmarta ma'od l'nafshu seichem. Hishom alecha u'shmor nafshecha ma'od. I argue, even sakana sever, or anything that might cause irreparable, irreversible damage to your health is a prohibition, even though you're not putting your life in jeopardy. We are mechuyev to care for our health and to watch over the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. V'chai behem is not only a privilege, it is an obligation. If we're dealing with a chayla, which will, yes, he'll have to get into bed, noifel mishkov, but it'll pass, it'll clearly pass. He's not compromising himself in the long run. He still would be potter min ha-mitzvah, but he would be entitled, if he wishes to do so, to be machmir. And if we're dealing with tsar belvad, ametztayer chayev b'mitzvahs, we do not find the ametztayer as potter only from mitzvahs sukkah belvad. So this is generally, in a nutshell, my opinion regarding the broader question of choyle b'mitzvahs and the various different situations and problems, health problems that we have with the performance of the mitzvahs of Leila Seder that need to be dealt with according to the yardstick that we just developed, whether we're dealing with matzah in celiac. So in most cases, a person could eat a kezayis matzah. And I know there are various different shiurim. Chazonish, Reb Chaim Noah. Minchaso Shechele Gimel, there is Mahalach number 3. Besides Chazonish and Reb Chaim Noah. Don't look for it because you won't find it. It's not printed yet. But I hope in 2 or 3 months the Sefer will be available. And there we have a new approach with shiurim, regarding shiurei Torah, which is different than the Chazanish and different than Reb Chaim Noah. And in my opinion, b'sha'as hadchak, a kezayis is kishmoy kein hu, kezayis. That is a kezayis. So I myself, I eat matzah moror shiurei Chazanish because I could do it. But people that have medical issues, I paskin, you could make a brocha on a kezayis. Has to be as big as the common zayis that we have in our time. So it's difficult to define a kezayis benini. So I would suggest judge with a bigger olive. It's not the very small ones, the ones that are a bit bigger, but it's still far smaller than the shiurim of Reb Chaim Noah. And that is my psak regarding brocha achroina. When I eat mezoinis, I make a brocha achroina on a kezayis. That's not a very big piece. And b'sha'as hadchak, I say the same regarding matzah and moror to those people that have difficulty eating the far greater shiurim that we have in the books, in our sforim. And so, shibolet shu'al, what is shibolet shu'al in English? No. Spelt? No, spelt is kusmin. What is shibolet shu'al? Oatmeal? Yeah, so... I think it has less gluten, so some people that have celiac could eat shibolet shu'al. I think everybody has to check out his possibilities, but the rules are as above stated, and the same regarding dalet kosis, the same regarding the various different types of moror. So let me give me another psak regarding moror. Those that have extreme difficulty eating horseradish because it's so sharp. So, the Mishnah Brura quotes in the name of the Gro, when you grind the moror, the tamche, Erev Pesach, don't leave it open. You should cover it because the taste, you know, the sharpness will evaporate and it'll be lost. So, 1 year, I had a strange machshava and I told my wife and my daughters that this year I want you to leave it open for a half hour or 45 minutes because I felt that eating moror and you cough your heart out, that might be shaloka derech achila. And Shaloka Derech Achila, it's a big shaila whether you yoitze. So I didn't want it to be that sharp. Lo and behold, came the Seder night, I ate murr. I didn't become red, I didn't become green, I didn't cough at all. Wasn't sharp at all. And my family was very disappointed. And they said, Tati, that's not murr. We're sorry, that's not murr. But it was the first time in my life that I actually felt that horseradish is mar. Mar is bitter. And usually it's so sharp that we don't even feel it's bitter. So the first time in my life, we left it open for an hour, and it wasn't sharp at all, that I realized that it's bitter. And then I saw the Shoyel HaMeshev, Chela Gimel, Simachov Beis. The Shoyel HaMeshev writes that horseradish, tamche, has two different characteristics. It's bitter and it's charif, and it's sharp. And when the charif is subsides, then you feel the bitterness. So I don't want to be choylek on the Gron, the Mishneh Brura. You know, many times I say, if I would live 800 years ago, that is what I would say. But I'm fully aware that I didn't live 800 years ago. I am here today with you. So if I would live 300 years ago, I would say that lachatchila, if you eat tamcha, you need to open it up and let all the sharpness subside, because moror is bitter. The other types of moror aren't sharp, aren't charif. What does charifas have to do with moror? Moror has to be bitter. But who am I to question the Gra and to question the Mishneh Brura? However, elderly people who are really afraid to eat tamcha, and they might have heart problems, I don't know, and they can't eat lettuce because they can't digest fiber, I paskin lachatchila, leave it open, let all the charifas subside, and you could make a brocha lachilas moror, and you could eat moror that way. B'sha'as adchak, that is my psak. You could eat moror, tamcha, horseradish, and if it might, you're afraid it might hurt you. So young people, healthy people, you cough a bit, you're not going to die. But when we're dealing with elderly people who are frail, and I would be very cautious. Leave you there, Moritz Nafsha. If he feels he can't take it, then he can't take it. Who are you to impose on him? So I would paskin. Let all the harifas subside, leave it open. It's still moror. It's one of chamesh's minay moror. L'chayra, the Shoyel HaMeshev is right. Harifas has nothing to do with moror. Moror is supposed to be bitter. It's not supposed to be charif. It's not supposed to be sharp. So b'sha'as adchak, when we have no other options, that would be my psak, and he could make the brocha l'achilas moror. So we discussed the various different questions that might come up regarding the Seder night and the various performance of different mitzvahs. So, person is not allowed to put his life in jeopardy to perform mitzvahs. However, there's an amazing story told in Erev in Daf Chof Aleph Omid Beis. Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef is in the Roman dungeon B'sha'as HaChorban. V'hoyu Reb Yehoshua HaGarsi Mishamsho. And one of his great disciples, Reb Yehoshua HaGarsi, was Mishamish. U'b'chol yoyim v'yoyim hoyu mevi loy mayim b'mido. And Reb Yehoshua HaGarsi every day brought Reb Kiva water to drink. Pa'am achas, pogoy shoyim beis u'asurim, v'omar shemo lachto beis u'asurim, so the guard looked at that bottle of water and he said, maybe you're digging a tunnel, maybe you want to dig your way out. So he poured out half of the bottle. And when Rabbi Shua Garsi comes in to Rabbi Kiva's cell, and Rabbi Kiva says, sees that little water, he says, Yoshua beni, Yoshua ochi, iatu yodea shezoken aini, v'chaye tluyim b'chaye. You know that I'm ill, you know that I'm old, you know that I'm frail, and my life is dependent on you. So why are you bringing me that little water? And Rabbi Shua apologizes. It's not me. It's that guard standing outside. I brought the same that I bring every day. And then the Bekiva takes that little half bottle of water and he uses it for Natilas Yadayim. And Rabbi Shua Garcia is offended. And he asks the Bekiva, you just complained that you're old and ill and sick and your life is in danger. And now you're taking this little water and you're spilling it out for Natilas Yadayim and you won't have anything to drink. And Rabbi Kiva says, "Mutav omus misa satsmi v'lo avor al divrei chaverai." I am willing to jeopardize my life to give away my life, and I won't compromise the mitzvah that my chaverim were metaken, because Rabbi Kiva was one of the great tanoim, one of the chachmei Mishnah. So that was the era, that was the time when chachomim instituted various different halachos. And Rabbi Kiva says, "Mutav amut misa satsmi v'lo avor al divrei chaverai." Is there a heter to do so? Is there a heter to compromise your life, put your life in jeopardy, to be mekayim a mitzvah d'rabbanan? I just made it very clear. Pikuach nefesh overrides mitzvah d'oraisa. Definitely overrides the mitzvah of Natilas Yadayim. So how do we understand the story told in Eruvin Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis? So my interpretation would be, and I really think that is the correct approach from the halachic perspective, probably it wasn't a pikuach nefesh situation. It is never possible in medicine, in biology, to say if a person won't drink this bottle of water, he will die. You know, he was elderly, he was frail. Obviously, there always is some danger of dehydration. Fluids are extremely important to your health. But it wasn't a clear-cut pikuach nefesh situation like taking oxygen or taking medicine. So Rabbi Kiva judged that he's going to take the remote chance, and it wasn't really a pikuach nefesh situation. But the lesson of the Gemara, the formulation of the Gemara, does seem to indicate, Rabbi Kiva says, "Mutav omus misas atzmi v'lo avor al divrei chaverai." So Rabbeinu Yoina, one of the great Rishonim in Sefer HaYira, we're all familiar with the Shaar Tshuva. But the Shaar Tshuva is only part of a far greater work that Rabbeinu Yoina actually wrote, but most of it was lost. Shaar Tshuva and Shaar Avoida, of which we only have a little part in Sefer HaYira. So in Shaar Avoida, Rabbeinu Yoina writes that those Yechidei Zgula, those giants like Rabbi Kiva, they have a different rule, and they are entitled to put their life in jeopardy even for a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And that is amazing, because if the Baal Shem Tov would say that, would be more reasonable. So Rabbeinu Yoina was known as the greatest chassid in his generation, and everybody quotes Rabbeinu Yoina as Rabbeinu Yoina chassid. He was a mechutin with the Ramban, and there's a letter that the Ramban writes to Rabbeinu Yoina during his lifetime. They corresponded with each other. And the Radbaz writes to his mechutin, to Rabbeinu Yoina, "Hachosid, hakodosh," and that is very uncommon. In those generations, people were more careful with the titles that they wrote. So he was known as a muflig b'chassidus, but he was also one of the greatest halachic commentators. We have the Aliyas Rabbeinu Yoina and Bava Basel. We have Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina Mesechet Brochus. He was a poisek. So it is amazing that he writes that those yechidim, those individuals, those giants that were so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were entitled even to put their life in sakana and to perform even a mitzvah d'rabbanan, which is an amazing comment. But when I learned that sugya, and I remember when the thought occurred to me, I was so moved that tears streamed from my eyes. So when I learned the Gemara, I am amazed, because we're all familiar with the story of Rabbi Kiva, of Rabbi Kiva's demise. And that is such a moving story told in Brochus Daf Samech Beis, and a Masechet Brochus in Yerushalmi, even more elaborate, at greater length than Brochus Daf Samaches. Son of Akiva, when his turn came, and he was one of the 10 Haruge Malchis, Voyesorken is Besoroi Bemasreke Shalbarazan, and he was tortured with unbearable pain. Voyu Mekabel Oil Malchus Shumayim Biyahava. And he was saying, Shumayi Sol Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Mechot. And the Talmidim were there, they were surrounding him, and they were amazed, and they said, Rebbe, Ad Kan, how could a human being, how could a mortal reach such unbelievable heights of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such unbelievable heights of Mesiras Nefesh? And Rebbe Akiva says, Kol Yomai Hoisi Mitztayer Al Aposo Kaze, B'chol Nafshecho, Afilo Noitles Nafshecho, Achsho Shaboli Yodi Lo Akaimeno. And the Yerushalmi says, Hoyo Mitzachek. And this brings to mind various different passages in the Talmud. Makas Daf Chof Gimel, Kishayu Olim Li Yerushalayim V'tchilu Hem Boichen V'Rebbe Akiva Mitzachek. The Yerushalmi says, Hoyo Mitzachek. And Tornes Rapus, the evil, asked him, Mechashef Ato, O Mevayet B'Yesurim Ato. Tornes Rapus turns to Rebbe Akiva, and he sees Rebbe Akiva with a radiant smile in the midst of unbearable torture. And he says, either you're a sorcerer and you did something and you're not feeling the pain, or you're a masochist. One of the two. Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling when you're going through this terrible torture? And the Rekiva responds in the same way, and he says, Lo mechashef ani, velo mevayed biyesurim ani, elo kol yoma yoyise mitztayer al aposu kazeh. What do the Talmidim mean when they ask Rabbeinu, Ad Kan? I believe the Talmidim are not only hurt and moved, they want to learn. They still want to learn. Odom Kiyomis Boyle, Afilu Bishmas Misa. They still have the opportunity to learn. One last limit for Rebbe Akiva, and they ask Rebbe Akiva, Ad Kan, how did you achieve such heights? How could a person rise? How could a person achieve such heights? And Rebbe Akiva says, my Mesiras Nefesh is not a spontaneous outburst of emotion. This is a Mif'al Chaim. I've been working on this moment all my life. This is the climax of my entire life. It is not spontaneous. Kol yomai hoise mitztayer al aposu kazeh mosayo veleyodi va'akayemena. That gives me the strength and the koyach. That gives me the courage. And that enables me to be mekabel. These yesurim bi'ahava, and being aware. This is the climax of my entire life. This kiddush Hashem. So we all said, let's go back to the story in Erev, and Rebbe Akiva is in that dungeon. And he knows there is only one way out. He knows he's not being freed. And he sees his dream. Bekorov will be fulfilled. And he's working on himself. The last stage of Kol Yomai Hoyise Mitztayer Al Aposu Kazeh Mosa Yovel Yodiv Yakei Mena. And he is willing to forfeit not only his life, but his death, and not to be over on a tilas yedayim. Wow. That he is willing to give his life away for a Kodesh Baruch who is no longer a Kiddush. That is what he lived for. He lived for this moment of Kiddush Hashem, and he is willing to forego that moment. For what? For Netilas Yedayim, which is a mitzvah d'rabban. So if Rebbe Akiva would die from thirst in that dungeon, we wouldn't have this story. We wouldn't have, for eternity, Sorken es besorei b'masreike shel barzel v'hoyu mekabel ol malchus shemayim b'yahava. He would die like many others in the Roman dungeons from hunger, from thirst, and that would be the end of the story. And Rebbe Akiva knows. Rebbe Akiva is fully aware. And he's in the middle of Avodas HaKodesh, preparing for that moment of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And he says, Mutav omos mises atzmi v'lo avor al divrei chaverai. That is Mesiras Nefesh for a mitzvah. So very few people are willing to give away their life for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Rebbe Akiva is willing to give away far more than his life for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is willing to give away his dream, his lifelong dream, to which he toiled all his life. Mosa yove liyodi va'akayemeno afilu noitles nafshecho. And he is willing to forego that opportunity, not to be mevatel netilas yudayim. That is greatness. That is Rebbe Akiva ben Yosef. So we have so much to learn. We have so much to learn. Dik de kadin and dik de kamitzvah, what a mitzvah means and how much is required. How much ava, how much yira, how much mesiyas nefesh in the performance of our mitzvahs. So let us all have a chakosha v'sameach, and we should have a wonderful Pesach, and we should be mevasa b'soyros toivos. So I really hope I'll be able to leave to Eretz Yisrael b'korov, and chakosha v'sameach to all of you.
Rav Shiva mentioned that about 1.5 million children, Rav Kustman, the one of Rav was seen with children down in Shalaya.
Okay, we're going to dive in.